Once again, as we kick off our number two of our show this morning, we start with Willie Hallahan. Willie, of course, hosts the website sportingacause.com, where he puts up his comments, but also lists events that are coming up that are all sporting events and somehow connected to fundraisers. Willie, once again, good morning to you.
Good morning, and a chilly morning it is, Marshall. It's good to hear you.
It's good to hear you, and it's good to be inside.
Yeah, exactly right. I have some stuff to talk about. I've touched on this event before, but as I learn more about it, I think this is really just what people need this time of year. It starts tomorrow. For the next 6 weeks, the Northwest Connecticut YMCA is holding what they call the Reset Challenge, and it's free, and it involves a lot of stuff. First of all, you get 2 free weeks at the physical participation at their Y. Part of the program is in person, some of it's virtual, but it's 6 weeks long. It's you're doing 30 minutes a day of activities, 5 days a week. You get actual guidance 3 times a week from coaches. There are chances to win prizes by tracking your progress. There's all kinds of motivational support, and it's not just physical. I guess it's addresses our emotions and spirituality, as well as our getting our bodies back in shape. It's clearly these folks have thought this program out, and they've devised something using little bits of in-person and distance learning, so to speak. And for the next right into the middle of March, this program goes. So I would certainly ask everybody who's feeling that they've missed out because of the pandemic and everything to check this program out. You can just text the word reset at this number 844-795-0914, and if you don't get that number, you can either go to sportingacause.com and find the link. Or you can go to the Northwest Y website, which is nwcty.org. Or, you know what, I don't know, Marshall, if a lot of your listeners know this, but you can go back and find programs on your show. You just go to robinhoodradio.com and you click on the on-demand tab. And over on the right, you see a column of all the shows you do, and you do a lot of them. I can't believe how many shows you do. And you can click on any one of them and find archived shows. So you can, if you missed something or you wanted to rehear something, you can always do that. It's a great resource, and I'm not sure everybody knows about it.
It's amazing. We get, for a tiny little radio station, we get between 22,000 and 26,000 downloads a month at that site, which we had to go to our own individual server because there were so many. It's
wow.
People do exactly that. They use it as an archive, and they go back and they recheck things. It really is, and it's easy to find just to robinhoodradio.com.
Yeah, easy to do, even for someone like me, who's a technological dinosaur. So yeah, I would ask. Please check that out. It's up to you to how much. I mean, you said, it's a 6 week commitment, but well, you get out of it what you want to, and I encourage anybody to do that. February 6th through the 14th, the Bob and Peg Andrulis Sweetheart Run Walk. It's a 5K race. I talked about that a bit before. They switched from an in-person race to a virtual one a couple weeks ago, but I think they've done a great job of trying to keep it as close to an in-person race as they can without it actually being that way. You can actually go to my website again, Sporting a Cause, to get the details, but you register online. It's $30 a runner or walker, depending on what you want to do. Instead of a one-day race, it's a week long. It's the 6th through the 14th. You can run or walk the actual course. It's over in Bantam. I think it goes by Bantam Lake, so it's a beautiful place. There's an app you can get and submit your time, and you can win awards. I think it's for the first 150 registrants. You can get a long sleeve T-shirt, and that's the T-shirts are all important to runners. They accumulate those, and the race benefits the Litchfield Community Center, which is a great organization in Litchfield. And again, you can go to Sporting a Cause to get the details for that. February 12th through the 14th is Jump Fest. I talked at length about that last week, and I'll just touch on one aspect of it today, because this is the part that scares me the most about the alterations we've had. We're holding it just like we always have. It's a Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And among the restrictions that we're operating under is the number of people we can let in at a time. It's 400 people, which is 25% of our capacity. So the first 400 people on Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday get in. And no one else can get in unless someone leaves. And my biggest fear is that people just arrive and they get turned away. I mean, what makes this even worse, in a way, maybe worse isn't the right word, we're getting an inordinate amount of interest. We're getting emails all the time, and the thing that dominates is people are wondering about tickets, going to get tickets in advance and all that. Well, we gave that a lot of thought. There are events, if I compare it to events that I've had on my website, signing up for a virtual event has turned all online. The only way you could get register for a race or a golf tournament or whatever was to do it online. So it's all done before the event itself. We chose to do the opposite. The only way you can get a ticket is to show up and buy one physically at the gate. And the reason we did that, I mean, it could have been easier to go online ourselves. But the reason we didn't is we've been selling tickets at the gate forever, for the last 50 years. And you just can't counter that overnight. People, no matter how much we publicized online tickets, people would still be showing up like they always have. And then you would have a combination of people showing up. They might have already been, I'm sure we could have filled up the 400 people per day online. So people would be showing up, and every one of them would have to be turned away. It seemed like the least evil way of doing this is to hold it in person. You have to show up. You get there early enough to get your ticket, and you get in. And so much of our world is done on a first-come, first-served basis anyway. So what we're doing is we're going to sell tickets right there at the gate. We've moved the ticket booth out to the end, to the parking lot, instead of halfway down the road. So if anybody just to keep people from having to walk that distance just to find out that they can't get in. And as we approach the 400-person mark each day or Friday night, as we get close to that, we're going to send someone out to the road and tell them, we've only got 10 more people, or we're full, you can't get in right now. Now, on Saturday and Sunday, because it's all day, Friday night's a fairly narrow window. It's basically 7 to 8:30. So people coming in, or they're staying. Nobody's really leaving. Saturday and Sunday is a different story. People come in, families come in. They might have one, two, or three children, and they stay a while, an hour and a half, 2 hours maybe. The kids get cold, they want to go, and so they leave. We see it at the ticket booth all the time. There's people coming out, people coming in. On Saturday and Sunday, there's a better chance that even though you've been closed out of the first 400, there may be a chance to get in later when people come out, but that you kind of take your chances. Anyway, my biggest fear, in a nutshell, is disappointing people. We just don't want to do it, what we've been trying to stress in all of our marketing messages is if you want to get in for sure, just show up. Show up early enough to get your ticket, and then you go, and you're good to go. But be prepared for the disappointment of being shut out, at least at the beginning. If you want to feel like hanging out, see if somebody comes out, then you can do that too. But we'll see. I think that's probably the only point I really want to make about Jump Fest today. I talked about it quite a bit last Sunday, and I'll probably talk about it again next Sunday. But this seems like a good point with 2 weeks left to go.
Well, people have to come with patience in their mind, and you know what? If they can't get in, they can always leave the car parked there, walk into Salisbury, go to one of the restaurants, or go to Le Bon's, and then come back and check after they have.
That's true. Yeah, we won't really have the capacity to put them on a waiting list because, it was so. As we discussed, a lot of discussion took place around this whole process among us. directors. And someone brought up, well, people can wait in their cars. Well, if there are 400 people, the first 400 people are already in. The parking lot is starting to fill up, so the cars that they're sitting in are going to be back in there. How do you access those people? It's not like Panera Breads where you can have the little buzzer thing that you carry with you. We can't do that. For the people who are waiting for the opportunity to get in, you're right. I think, and I hope, people who, for one reason or another, get shut out of entrance, do take advantage of the town. You can walk into the town, to the White Hart, or any of the businesses that are open, and it's great for the town. It's great for everybody. But it's going to be difficult. It's not going to be the easiest thing in the world, and we're sorry for that. But anyway, that's the way that's going to work. Next week, I'll talk about Jump Fest in general again, and we'll get through it. I mean, it's not like we're the only ones who are operating under these conditions. Every event has had to make their choices. There's another event I want to talk about coming up in May 2nd. I'm bringing this, even though May seems like a long way away. You know how the time is flying, Marshall. I mean, May 2nd, it'll happen in no time.
Yeah.
There's a race I just heard about that came online. It's the Girls Just Want to Run 5K. It's been around for a while. They postponed their race from last year. They're counting on their interpretation of the law is that road races will become legal again, so to speak, in the spring. So they're scheduling their race in person in Litchfield for May 2nd. And the details are on my website, but I mention it because it's just another way that people who are organizing events have chosen to address it. You know, some have been canceled, some are altered, postponed, all the different things that people have chosen to do because of this pandemic. These people are going to hold it. They're counting on progression of vaccinations and everything to proceed to the point where things are going to get better by spring, and they're going to go with that. They hold out the possibility that they may turn virtual at the last minute, and I'll certainly keep everybody updated about that. What I'm finding, anecdotally, when I talk to people who run everything, people are so jonesing for events that they can do in person. There are a lot of runners around. I'm not one, Marshall. You're not one, but there are a lot of runners around, and they'll tell you a virtual event just ain't the same thing. Like a golf tournament, one of the big things about in-person events is only partially the event itself, whether you're a runner or a golfer. It's the camaraderie of these events that's so important. And when you eliminate that, I've played in a couple of golf tournaments before the season ended that were organized in a safe manner. But they totally eliminated gathering, even to the point where there was no registration table where people could clump up as they arrived and signed up. That was all done online. Any meal, there was no gathering for a meal. It was all to go. And even awards, there was no gathering for that. Or raffles. You didn't sit around looking at your raffle ticket numbers. And of course, on a golf course, you can space yourselves safely anyway. Running the same way, people typically would go, they'd see their friends that they haven't seen in a while, they register, they get fruit or water or whatever, they start in a mass start, and then they gather for awards afterwards. None of that happens, even in the in-person races before the governor banned them. People are really, really, really looking forward to being able to get back to some sense of normalcy in events, and just as they were in November before they ended the running races, I'm sure there'll still be safeguards in the spring. People might have to wear masks. And quite frankly, Marshall, I appreciate the difficulty in our government in wrangling all this, trying to keep everybody safe at the same time, trying to not eliminate every experience. I'm not quite sure why they banned the road races. There's so many things that have been able to be held outside. I mean, Jump Fest, for example, we're able to hold that. Golf tournaments were in the fall were able to be held outdoors. I'm not sure why they decided to ban road races specifically. I watched them be held safely back in October. So, but that's neither here nor there, really, because hopefully in the spring, we can go back to normal at least there. And there are a couple of golf tournaments. I mentioned them last week. What's interesting is there are golf tournaments that typically are held in mid or late summer. This year, they're having them early. The Isaiah Lamb Golf Classic, I think that was in either July or August. They're going to be in June 12th, the Housatonic Youth Services Bureau Golf Tournament. That was also late in the summer. They're scheduled now for June 28th. So, and these are major fundraisers for these organizations. So everybody wants to get back to normal. They need to raise money for their programs. The participants need to get out there and resume their activities. And I view these events, upcoming events, as a kind of a light at the end of the tunnel. So let us pray.
All right, Willie, even though it's not a busy time, lots to talk about. And, of course, next week we'll talk more about Jump Fest.
Yeah, and we can make our predictions about the Super Bowl, too.
All right, Willie, have a great week.
Thank you, Marshall. You too. Thanks.